One's a former NFL star turned esports coach.
But I was getting the stink eye from my wife. She's like, what you doing? I'm like, nothing.
And one's a dad who can't stop playing Rocket League.
These kids these days, they're like, blah, 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 blah. We're used to jump and run.
Together, they welcome you to Amon Green's Gamers Lounge.
Welcome into Amon Green's Gamers Lounge. I'm your host, Amon Green, and my good friend and teammate, John Audius, man, co-host, John. How you doing, man?
What is going on, Amon? I'm doing all right.
All right. Checking in here from last week's show. So not much going on. Just watched some, you know, watched some NFL football. You know, saw the Packers, unfortunately, come to an end. It was a lot of high hopes for the Packer faithful and the players and the team, obviously. But them Detroit Lions, man, they came in here hot off the top rope. They was like, nope, we're not going to the dance, so y'all not going to the dance. And they ended the playoff push for the Packers here in 2023, but the 2022 season. So I'm gonna be watching some other games this weekend, other teams. And other than that, man, just getting ready to get down to Lincoln, you know, start my job there. All the, you know, how the new job thing is, you go to HR department, you get your if you got a computer or you got other things they need that you need. I get an office, you know. Ooh. I meet all this up, get all that going on to start next Monday's a holiday, and then so next Tuesday, I'll be doing all that. So, and other than that, man, streaming. I've been able to stream a couple times this week, man. I'm playing some fun game, playing my favorite games, Halo Infinite. Then I played this one game called Them Fighting Herds, where it's horses. It's like a few horses. It's a unicorn. Yeah. It's a goat and a llama. And it's like Street Fighter style. It's basically My Little Pony grudge.
Tell me the name again.
Yeah, it was Them Fighting Herds. I reviewed it a couple weeks ago, or about a month ago. I did it on game releases before the new year.
Okay.
And the game is so fun. It's diabolical, man. The llama whooped my, you know what, all night on Tuesday when I was streaming. I could not beat this llama that was beating me down. Yeah. Oh man, what's up, Zipper Straw 4? How you doing? And Jeremy, what's up, man? So yeah, check that out. You remember the game? I talked about it.
Here it is.
It's a fun game, man. There it is. There's a dragon horse.
It's like My Little Ponies.
Yeah, it's My Little Pony. And so the deal was, the developing company, they reached out to My Little Pony. The whole deal was, we're going to work with you. You know, let's work together. You know, we want to turn My Little Ponies, bring a little edge to My Little Pony. It's a fighting game, but it's going to have an RPG storyline to it. And My Little Pony was like, nah, this is what we do. This is what we are. And our cartoons, our movies, our TV shows are like this. And so we can't back this up. But they still figured it out and still went with the game. It's a fun game. The RPG part of it, that's the RPG part of it. You got to fight like these like snakes and wolves that you're trying to get back to your little town, little country town.
Wow.
For where everybody lives. That was a deer. So it's a deer. It's a sheep. A llama. There's the llama. Oh my God. That llama brings the pain, man. I never thought I'd be talking about a fighting game and a llama beating my butt, but that happened. And a goat, the billy goat. There you go. That's fun. It's a fun game. So I say check it out. And it'll be interesting. Tell me if you play it, let me know what your daughter says. Because she's going to be like,
yeah. Like, why are the little ponies fighting? Is what she's going to ask. Why are my little ponies fighting?
Exactly. So what about yourself? What's been going on?
Well, a couple of things. The Lions-Packers game. That surprised me. I like how you said it, like, we're not getting in, you're not getting in.
That's probably
the attitude they carried into that game. It's kind of weird because you look at the final standings and the Lions were the second best team in the NFC North. Not the Green Bay Packers, not the Minnesota Vikings, not the Chicago Bears. Lions 2, Vikings 1, Packers 3. That's so weird.
Yep.
And then the Lions were like dead last in the NFL in defense.
Yep.
And the Aaron Rodgers led offense just couldn't do anything against
them. They were middle of pack, I think, like between 15th, 16th, or 17th in the league offensively, and still middle of pack defensively, too. So it's just interesting, you know, and it just shows you have the right mindset, because it was all about mindset change for Detroit Lions. You know, they always been the bottom of the barrel of the NFC North and the NFL, but you got Dan Campbell and that coaching staff has been working with those players. He has mostly I think 85%, 95% of the coaching staff are all former players that played in the NFL. They played college football, including himself, the head coach, Dan Campbell. They all, you know, majority of that staff is NFL players. So bringing those players in and coaching up other, you know, current players to get their mindsets right of like, you got to earn every win out here. You got to do this. Right. You got to have the right technique, the right fundamentals. And you got to be held accountable for what you do on that football field. And I think that's right now for Dan and that coaching staff. Deuce Staley is the running back coach. Aaron Glenn is a DB defensive coordinator who was a fantastic DB for the New York Jets for a long time. So you got those type of players in the building and all high character guys and mindset, you know, positive mindset, hardworking mindset. Then you come up with situations like this where they could go into Lambeau Field, which has been a place where they haven't won a whole lot, and get the win.
Yeah. So, by the way, today I got one other thing. Today's show also brought to you by Bet Online.
Our sponsors with Bet Online. Go with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So check out Bet Online, number one source for all your sports betting needs. You're going to find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, game trends, all at Bet Online. And as your continued source for all sports wagering info, Bet Online features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's the NFL playoffs underway here, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or golf. Head to betonline.ag and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use our promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. Bet Online, where the game starts. Final thing I wanted to share with you is I came across this on Instagram, Iman.
Okay.
We're going to go back in the we're going to look back at this and remember this video game on the Dreamcast.
Ooh, Power Stone? Is it Power Stone?
No, it's NBA 2K. I saw this and I was like, 2K on the Dreamcast was different. Is the title. You can watch this if you're watching a stream on Twitch or wherever. And just trying to shoot free throws. Like, look how difficult.
My God.
Do you remember playing?
Yes, I do.
Look how hard it is to shoot a free throw. Like, you can't get Kobe to make a free throw.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I'm not playing this game.
Why would they make it that hard?
I say our guests coming in could talk about bringing this back in on their wheel there. I mean, a lot of people would be upset. They were like, what do you got us trying to do? You can't even shoot free throws on this game, man.
That's an interesting question, whether the UEL – do you do retro games on that wheel?
That's
I would
true.
Love to go back to, like, take me back to the Super Nintendo NBA Live 95, and I will be
– maybe do, like, a special weekend. Yeah, maybe we do, like, a they'll do a special weekend for, like, a charity fundraiser or something. So, with that being said, we are bringing in our guest who is – I met him as a coach. And he was the COO, but now he is just the COO of the UEL. So I like to bring in my man, my coach. I just don't get to practice all the time right now because I've been working and all that. My man, Anthony 300 Lucas, man. How you doing? Oh, audio. Hold on. Let me fix your audio. There you go.
All right. Hey, Omar. Right, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Anthony, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, no problem, man. Thanks for doing the show. I've been watching Season 6 from distance, you know, when I could click on and see everything. So for our team, I'm in the Discord. I see practice going on. So how is this season going for my team and for the roster of guys that are able to play?
Well, for you guys, man, it's going good. You know, I just recently had to step down as the coach and, you know, GM of the Ghosts to fully focus on being a COO. But for you guys, it's going amazing. I mean, you're actually number one in the league right now.
Wow. So,
and that's amazing with just having straight rookies.
Oh, wow. Because I know Chicken, he's a part of the roster.
Yep.
And Chicken Tech, John, great name, by the way.
Yeah.
And I met him when I went out there a couple months ago. I think it was November. I went out there and met Anthony, met his wife, family, great. And then Titus and Chicken Tech and Ryan. And I was like, and we played on play some Mortal Kombat. I was telling you.
Yeah.
I don't think I got a punch in.
No.
I was happy I did when I did. I get like a punch or a kick in, and I think I'll maybe one match, and that was it. Because Tick-a-Tack, he's literally a pro at Mortal Kombat and most fighting games, and great guy. So I've been watching his growth as well, because he's on the road, but now he's had to be, you know, in season and working out with the team and, you know, getting better at other games. And I know it's a whole bunch of games that are on this wheel. So real quick for everybody from the understanding UEL. So UEL, United In Gamers League, and they have seasons. So this is season 6, and it has a wheel. And so the wheel has 33 games, 6 different genres of games, from shooters, sports games, What else? I know those
fighting games, strategy games, and racing games.
Okay, it was RTS and racing games. You know, right? You know, so, and they have teams. They have what? Seven teams?
Oh, we have 8 teams total right now.
Okay, 8 teams total, and they're all competing for $40,000 this season. Last season was season five. Yep. Was $20,000. Yep. And now season 6 is $40,000. So they upped the ante for this season for the UEL. So for yourself, real quick, and we know this, we just talked about this off camera here. What is your gaming origin story? So what was the game? How old were you? And what was the person, mom, dad, brother, uncle, cousin, that got you into gaming?
Man, it goes back to, I want to say I was around 2 or 3 years old playing regular Nintendo. Oof. And then we used to play Mario, me and my brother. We were super competitive. Lewis, you see him in the Discord, LAF Designs. We were super competitive with each other on Nintendo. And then from Nintendo, we kind of got real serious when I was like 3 or 4 years old, is when I got my uncles. Louis, Adrian, and Jason.
They didn't take it easy on you.
No,
they didn't take
it easy on you at all. They didn't take it easy on us, man. But we used to play Battletoads back in the day Sega Genesis. And, man, I fell in love with video games then. Like, it was just nonstop. We went from Battletoads to the Ninja Turtles. I don't know if you remember the Ninja Turtles.
I remember,
And then Contra. We used to play Contra a lot.
Super up, down, down, left, right, left, right, B-A, select, start.
Boom. Hey, look, there you go. You already remember cheat codes.
Oh, yeah. So, all over it.
That was my first original start of playing video games.
Nice, nice. So what was the one fun moment you remember from those days?
Oh man, I remember, you know, my brother always kicking my butt, and I used to get so mad, man. Like, I'm never naturally good at something, and my brother Lewis, he's just naturally good at everything.
Oh,
he's one of those people, he can pick up a basketball and shoot all day. He can pick up football and throw it 80 yards. Like, you know, picking up video games, and he's just instantly good at it. And I just always had to get my butt kicked by him. And then I was like, you know, anytime he wouldn't play the game, I'm just sitting there grinding it out and learning the buttons. Because he wouldn't teach me the buttons either.
Of course. No, that's not on the job detail of an uncle or older brother. You got to learn. They're going to teach us the hard way.
Yes. And then especially, I mean, he learned it from our uncles too. Our uncles used to just kick our butts, man. And, you know, really give it to us.
Yep. John, you got anything?
No, that's amazing. I kind of have the similar story there as far as starting with video games and starting with Mario and the Nintendo Entertainment System. And man, once you get hooked on Mario, it just opens up that whole world of video games. That first Ninja Turtles on, I think it was NES, right?
Yeah.
And then I like the arcade one. The arcade game is like the arcade version. And that one I played for hours and hours, but just all the Mario games. So it's gotten you to a career in video games. Like, I mean, did you always want to pursue a career in gaming?
I always wanted to be like in some type of a professional setting. It kind of I guess not really professional, but my competitive setting started in Gears of War. So once Xbox came out, because like that was like the first time I could really get online. You know, my grandmother and my dad was like, no, you're not getting on Xbox Live when it was just regular Xbox and stuff.
Yeah, I think it was $50 for the year.
No, we definitely wasn't paying for that. So when Xbox 360 came out and I was able to afford my, like, you know, I had a little job, so I was able to afford, you know, my gamer tag and Xbox Live and all that. Gears of War 1 was my passion. And I found a guy from New York, one of my good friends, True Skills. And me and him started playing Gears of War, and then we ended up being one of the top 3 on game battles in Gears of War. And then that was like when I was open, like I was like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how old were you?
I was around 15 years old, 15, 16 years old.
Okay.
And then I moved on to Madden when I was 17. Oh, well, 18, really. I was 18. Again, Lewis was in college in Tampa Bay, and I stayed at his house, and I went to Madden Bus Tour. And I got
Madden
out there as well. So I used to play Madden heavy. And then I went to the Navy.
Tell me about the Madden bus tour. What was
Big Gene? Was Big Gene on the bus with you then?
Well, it was they were at Tampa Bay's stadium. So they had the, you know, the tour, and then Tampa Bay Stadium was one of the places that they were playing. Yep. And that's kind of where I went to go compete. But it was absolutely amazing, man. That was like the first time I ever went to an in-person like LAN event. and they had all the screens, like the Xboxes and the screens put together and those little stands, and then you play. And that's back when, you know, no offense, Omar, but I used to use you a lot back then. Too. Like, yeah. That's back when LT was a cheat code in Madden.
Oh, yeah. You know? No problem. No. You got to win games. I understand it, you know.
Yeah, so LT was, you know, everybody was using, you know, LT in San Diego. So, yep. And that's when I used to play with him a lot.
Yeah, that was like 2003, 2002, somewhere around
there. Yep. Yeah, it was somewhere around there because I went. No, it was actually later than that. It was around 2008 when I went. So, yeah, because I left for the Navy in 2008. So it was 2007. That's when it was, 2007.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. So you come out of the Navy. Actually, that's where you met your wife as well.
Yes, I remember that.
Yes. And a fantastic family, John, you know, hanging out with them. You know, took real good care of me out there, along with Titus as well. So how did you get, you know, coming out of the Army, coming out of the military, you get into, you hear about the UEL, or how did you get involved with it once you got to that next step?
I want to say COVID. You know, I had a security business before then. I got out the Navy, started doing security, had a pretty successful security company. Mm-hmm. And then when COVID hit, everything got shut down. And I'm just sitting in the house playing video games, and I started playing really competitive again. So I started playing 2K just the year 2018. I started playing 2K very competitive. Like that was it. That was the only game I was playing day and night. We were in the Discords, competing in WR, ADBA, all those things, and trying to get into the 2K league. And my wife tells me, she's seen the ad on Instagram, and she goes, "Hey, you need to get out of the house. Like, check this place out. It's called UEL." And I was like, "I don't know." I was like, "He was like, they play 2K." I was like, "Okay, all right, I'll go up there."
All right.
I walk in, I see, you know, my main man Herb, and I see Courtney, and then Titus is standing there too. And then I asked him, I was like, "Hey, do you guys do like 2K competitions?" And I was like, "Yeah, we play 2K." And then they started telling me about the wheel, and they're like, "Man, we got 33 different games, man. It's, you know, fighting games, all this." So I was like, "Hey, man, look, I'm no professional gamer, none of those things." I was like, "I can compete in 2K, and I want to pursue a passion in coaching." I was like, "I wanted to be a coach in the 2K league, or at least a player." And then he was like, "You can be a coach here." I'm like, "All right, I'll come check it out." He told us about this tournament where it's 10,000. I want to say about 2 weeks later, I'm sitting there. I get in there early. And I'm just checking out the competition because I kind of wanted to see what I was getting myself into. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just like, you know, looking, observing. And then we start playing, and then 2K rolls. And then everybody looks at me like, "Oh, is he going to play?" And I completely dominated.
Right.
So, and then I remember Titus tells John, his brother, he was like, "Man, you need to go talk to him about being a coach." And then they asked me to be a coach here at the Bandits. And then I absolutely jumped on it. I was honored. So,
oh, okay.
That's nice. Kind of what started my foot in UEL.
Right, right. So what was some other games? Because we know you had 2K Master. Did you, on that day, did the wheel come around and you had to play any other game on that moment?
Rainbow Six. But my team was kind of like a last minute team that was kind of put together. So that was back before we had the draft and all that stuff. We were just kind of putting people together, and then they were playing. So I was kind of put together. It was like a team of like random people of five. And we were like late entries. So it was like everybody that kind of came in late. And I want to say Rainbow Six, I came in. I knew how to play a little bit, and I did not know how to play Rainbow Six. And Gears of War, I came in playing in 2K. And I knew a little bit about Halo, but I didn't really like play it a lot. I played it like Halo 1, Halo 2, stuff like that. But I didn't play it like competitively, just kind of like a casual game.
Gotcha. So you strip off the coaching label now. Now you're just the COO of UEL. And so you've grown into that role. So tell us, you know, some of your responsibilities and what's your day-to-day now since you're just doing the CEO side of the UEL.
Okay. So before, it was nonstop video games, you know, that's all I was playing. You know, I was finding the strats and trying to, you know, help the team out the best way I can.
Yeah. You helped me out with Friday the 13th.
Hey, there we go.
The money.
Yes.
He's a good coach. I can vouch for that. Definitely know what he's talking about.
I appreciate that. So we went from, you know, grinding out video games to now nonstop meetings and phone calls. So I'm assisting Titus with phone calls and assisting him with talking to some of these other businesses and trying to get the name of UEO out. As you can see back here on this board, merchandise.
Yeah.
I also help with the merchandising and organizing with merchandise. I also help with, you know, the rules, regulating, and then I may or may not, you know, start helping Titus with picking the wheel. But mm-hmm. I mean, he does such a great job on that. You know, I kind of like let him have the brain. So me and Titus's relationship is, you know, Titus is the believer, the dreamer, and I'm the executor.
He tells right. me, you know, hey, gotta have that. You gotta have that in a successful company. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yep. He tells me whatever he wants, and then I go make it happen. So
nice. Yeah.
And how different, I was just going to jump in, sorry. How different is your current role where you're talking with businesses, you're doing the merch? How different is that than what you had pre-COVID before you got back into gaming mm-hmm. and playing 2K and gating with UEL? Is it like a whole new world for you as far as your career?
No. I've always done business pretty much my whole adult life.
Okay.
You know, I had a security company for 7-8 years, so I'm kind of mm-hmm. used to being that person and talking to other businesses and networking, and that's something I do very well. I just kind of, it's like one of my hidden talents in UEL is yeah. networking.
Yeah.
But you know, I kind of keep it, you know, very separate. I try to keep the casual side of me in UEL, and I try to keep the business side of me away for only the people that need to see it.
Okay, yeah. So I got to ask you then, what is the key to being a good networker? Because there are a lot of people probably listening to this podcast yeah. in their own different career fields. That's what I'm asking, because I want some tips too. Like, because it's something that everyone, if you want to advance in a career, you basically need to know these skills.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you have to be the one that can execute a conversation. Just a hi, how are you doing? And then go into what are they doing? You know, see what they want to do first. And then you go, well, hey, you know, once you find a similar interest, well, hey, look, I kind of do that as well. And then they're going to ask you naturally, what do you do? And then once mm-hmm. they ask you naturally, what do? That's when I talk about UEL. And then nobody doesn't like hearing, you know, hearing about UEL. You know, everybody, you know, once they hear it, they're instantly like, wow, that sounds amazing.
Nice. All right. What's been the biggest, I say, part of the, I say, growth or passion from being a part of the UEL to where you at right now?
To be honest, the growth of the league, you know, when I first came here, it was, you know, I can tell it was just like Titus trying to get something going.
Yeah.
And then, he had a great idea, but it just wasn't structured correctly. And it wasn't mm-hmm. like structured right. And then now to see where we went from the beginning to where it was, you know, one person just trying to, you know, make something happen. So now the amount of people in the community that we have grown to mm-hmm. is like instant gratification for me. Like every time when I see somebody that, you know, wants to volunteer, wants to help, you know, wants to come in, and we appreciate them so much. And like, that's my, you know, that's what I love the most.
Right. So, right. So segue, you know? Yeah, the growth there. So piggybacking off that, what are some of your goals to develop the UEL? Because you talk about a little bit, like you kind of mentioned some of the things. You don't have to go into finite details because obviously you don't want to give up no trade secrets or anything like that.
Yeah,
but you know, for a company that wants to continue to grow, you got to have goals. So what are some of them goals for
some of our goals is I'll keep it short. You know, some of our goals is, you know, to definitely up our production, definitely have a better production, which, you know,
so production on Twitch, basically, the Twitch show.
Gotcha. Yep, the whole show and stuff, which Polo's just taking over, and he's doing an amazing job at it. You know, now we're implementing those interviews. We're implementing those cutting times into game setups to make it a little bit more entertaining mm-hmm. and then not just focusing on commentary. We're also focusing on sponsorship, and then we're also building our brand to other companies. And then also getting out some of these teams. Like, that's the biggest thing. We're trying to get some of these teams out here for sale.
Yeah.
Because we're having a lot of interest in them. And then we're trying to keep that going.
Yep. And I can't, Titus sent me a text the other day for that question right there, seeing if I could reach out to anybody that I know that would be interesting in purchasing a team. I had a
great investment right now.
Yeah. Had a question, but it'll pop back. John, you got anything you want to add to that?
I just think it's interesting the way you're growing the league. And if you had to, you know, write down what the league would be like in 10 years, what would you say about the UEL?
Great question.
We're going to be esports. We are going to be what everybody sees what esports is. That's what we're going to be. You know, that's our goal. And another, you know, long term goal of ours is to get it into Olympics.
Awesome.
When you think about the Olympics.
That's what I'm talking about.
UEL.
I knew I liked y'all.
Wow.
Because you gotta put goals out there for yourself, because obviously you will end up somewhere where you want to be, because you gotta shoot for the stars. Because remember, you shoot for the stars, you're still in you way out there. Mm-hmm. You know, you're gonna be amongst the clouds, how they say it. That's how that cliche goes. Shoot for the stars, you end up in the clouds.
Yeah,
that's where you want to be. I had a question, but it's gonna pop back later. But I got this other question that I got teed up for you. So with your coaching hat, when you were doing the coaching thing, because you did it for me, you helped me out, and like, it only took like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And Friday the 13th, like, I only played it a few times. And I told him that. I said, hey, man, I only played this once or twice. And I don't remember all the buttons and the strategy of the game. But he said, I got you, AG, I got you. And we started playing it. And within 10 minutes, maybe less than 10 minutes, I had it down.
Yeah.
So what are some of your training techniques when you were coaching that you use on some of the players? Because you know you're dealing with players that I know what I'm doing. You know, I got this.
Absolutely.
Why are you talking to me, coach? You know, boom, boom, boom. So explain how you would crack that and then let them. And then you got their ear on, oh, man, he knows what he's talking about. I need to listen to him. So how did that go about?
So the biggest thing is preparing your team. So I tell my team, even LeBron James has got a coach. You know, that's the biggest thing. So like, they instantly know, all right, you know, he's the greatest player in the world right now. Right. You know, greatest athlete, whatever you want to call it. So he's got a coach for a reason. So I got to be able to listen. So that's what I tell everybody. You know, everybody has a coach. So again, and then follow the game plan. And then when I'm teaching somebody.
Execution right there.
Yes. Execution. Yeah. So when I tell everybody, you know, I try to teach them on the most basic terms, like basic controllers. I find the cheesiest move or the cheesiest thing in the game. And then those people that don't know the game, that's what I bring to them. So like, whether it's a fighting game, I'll tell them, just learn this one combo. So like DBZ, you know, Dragon Ball Z Fighters is one of the games on the wheel. I tell everybody, look, just spam X. When they go in the air, all you have to do is tap Y and B. And then when they hit the wall, press RB. And then when they hit the bottom, you super. That's it. You find simple combos that you can just kind of do over and over for those people that don't play the game.
Wow.
So now, obviously, those people that know the game and understand the game, I give them free range. I still coach them and I still tell them, you know, hey, like, you know, don't be too aggressive when, you know, if they're dying a lot or if they're missing their combos, I'll tell them to bring it back a little bit and then people will understand. But you have to understand your people. That's the biggest thing. Once you understand your people and who you're dealing with, experience or non-experience, then, you know where to coach them from.
I've got a great idea for you.
All right.
All right. So you put out short Instagram videos of just what you just told us right there. Just the basic, what'd you call it? Kind of tip?
The cheesy moves.
The cheesy moves.
Yep. The basic.
You could have a whole series of reels of the cheesy moves, and I that would be so helpful to people who are just getting into the game that they find on Instagram. I love that idea.
Yeah. I didn't even think about it, but yes, you're absolutely right. Yep.
I mean, I'd be watching those just for the games. I'm like, all right, what's the basic move I need to know? Let's go. I did have a follow-up on the Olympics deal because I was Googling that while you guys were talking here, and they're trying to get the Paris Olympics in 2024 to include esports. I don't know if that's a done deal yet, but it made me think. So what games would be the Olympic games that would be played in esports? Like, what do you think would be the best choice?
See, that's the problem that UEL answers, or that's the question UEL answers. It wouldn't be one game.
Right.
It would be the ultimate end game.
It'd be all 33.
Yes. It would be our strategy and how we play the wheel. Because that's the biggest thing. It's like, everybody asks that question. We want esports in Olympics, right? How do we bring it to Olympics? What one or two or three games? You think about it, you know, Valorant or, you know, not picking on, I'm just saying the name. Valorant or Call of Duty, any one of those games. It's not going to be the same game 4 years from now. So they're training on that one game. And then now 4 years from now, it's a completely different game. Like, how do you keep that same crowd involved in that one game?
Yeah. Enthusiastic to watch it.
Exactly. Right. So
play it now and
with UEL, we can do whatever we want with the wheel. We put what games we want. And then now you play our structure and how we play esports.
Yeah.
So that's why I say we are going to be esports in the future. When people think about esports, they're going to think about UEL.
Yeah. So I say when thinking about the Olympics, what I know is that obviously any game, any competition in the, that's for going for a gold medal has to be played around the world. Yes. And a lot of the games in the world are played around the world, but not played in that setting. So that I say that's going to be the idea for you to think about with Titus, to get the UEL in other countries.
Yes. Basically. And we're working on that now.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Because I'm part of it. I'm part of UEL too. That's why I'm telling you.
Yes.
I hope you're in that, you're thinking about that territory. Go so Canada, over in Europe, or in Asia, Australia, you know. Yep.
Without saying too much, we already have ties and we already have plans and talks with different countries.
Beautiful.
So we here in the next couple of months, you'll see that soon.
You see that golf clap? Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, because you got to think for, you got forward think. You know, you got to have a game plan. You got to have the ideas, and the ideas get written down and then get structured. You know, what idea is going to be priority number one? What's going to be 2, 3, 4, 5? All the way to whatever, 100, whatever it is. And then, like you mentioned already, then the execution starts, you know.
Yes.
Then you start going down and hitting all those ideas, what worked, what didn't work, you know, correct, adjust from there. And that's where right now, where y'all at right now. It's been great. So question on the coming up of playing on that wheel. What was your go-to? I know you started off with obviously 2K was your game. Yeah. But as you played as a coach too, what was the game like? If it rolled up when you were coaching, you're like, oh yeah, okay, we got this. You know, we got this. I saw your face light up when I was there a few times. When I was, we good, you know.
From absolutely. Yeah. So that game is Friday the 13th.
Oh, it was.
We're winning as a survivor. We're winning as a killer. It does not matter. So once that game came up, everybody in the league instantly knew if 300 was coaching or 300 was playing, just forfeit. You know, we're not. They'll try it. They'll try to play the game, and they're still going to lose.
Nice. Okay. Friday the 13th. Oof, that was fun.
I love
all right. That game. All right, next question to close it out here. What's so you got what? Today's Thursday. You got months from now. You got 23 just started. What's up? What's next for you in the UEL, being the CEO? What are some of the things that you can share with us coming down the line?
Well, what's next is we're getting ready for the next draft for season 7. We're getting ready for that next season, and we're actually doing a draft registration. So if anybody's interested in being a player in UEL, make sure you go to our Instagram, UEL Esports, and you get into Discord, and then you register for the next season's registration. So that's the next big thing. We're going to be announcing here soon what the pot size will be for next season. So people are going to be really surprised for that. Mm-hmm. And then we're just preparing now for next season and getting next season structured. We already have our whole year planned out on how we're going to do it. And now we're just getting ready for the next season. That's really my goal and my job.
Nice. All right. I think your UEL is in good hands. And yes. if you ever got a question, you know, you can bark up my tree. You got my number. We're in the Discord chit chatting as well.
Hit me up anytime.
So Anthony, if you have time, you can stick around because we're gonna hit some quick hit news bite that's been going on in the video game space in our world and in our culture. So if you can't stick around, great. So we're gonna go to quick hit news bites right here. And get the screen ready. Didn't get it ready beforehand. So we had some fun stuff going on in Vegas where I was trying to get out to, but I didn't make it. It's CES was going on out there. And of course with CES, we got all the new innovation of technology, you know? So I found some of the stuff that was like interesting, from stuff that helps you work better in the kitchen or the garage or other places at work. And then also I looked up the gaming stuff that was at E3 or CES, because we're gamers. We're on this show. You listen, you watch, and you tune in. And not to find out what the next monitor is or what the next PlayStation peripheral going to be, we got to know this stuff. So for for stuff around the house, let me see here. It was right here. Here we go. We got some interesting things. I know I found one thing I saw on Instagram.
What is that refrigerator?
They have a free. Well, here we go. So LG, so with this refrigerator, before I get into the refrigerator, it's a machine I forgot the company. I just saw it on Instagram. I was swiping up, and it's a company that tests fruit. So for example, an avocado, you know how if you love guacamole, I love guacamole. I love avocado spread. I do an avocado smoothie. That's awesomeness.
Mm-hmm.
And it tests, the machine tests that the fruit is ripe, is ready to go.
Sometimes
you don't want the avocado too hard when you're trying to make your guacamole, and then it doesn't come out really smooth and creamy and all that stuff. So in the machine, it tests when the fruit is ready. So I'm like, oh, I said, that's a game changer. That's one I might go get. And so here, right here, is the LG refrigerator mod up.
I'm not a fan.
Man, can I describe it first, John?
Sure, go ahead.
It says the new LG mod up. Mood. So your mood fridge is designed with color changing LED door panels to add flexible aesthetic to your kitchen. So using the LG ThinQ app, you can choose from 22 colors for the upper panels and 19 colors of the lower panels, or use one of the pre-colored themes. So, you know, that color, how it can affect you when you having a bad day. Maybe it could cheer you up. I don't know. I think this is what they're trying to do at LG. They're trying to bring more calming things to deal with some of the stuff we went through COVID. I think this might have been a COVID idea. Like during COVID, man, you're in the house all day and you know how colors can affect you. You know, some people have that. And it is a fact in some way, because I know college football, Iowa State, the visiting locker room was painted pink. The whole locker room was painted pink. So when we walk in the locker room, we'd be like, you know, and I ignored it because I knew about it. I heard about it. So they was trying to psych us out. You know, we see pink everywhere. You know, usually it's just a white wall or a gray wall, concrete wall. But this was all the walls were pink. So they're trying to play mind tricks on us there. So this is later released here in 2023. So, John, I'm going to buy this for your
During COVID, the family, we bought a refrigerator, and it came down. I mean, you can get all the cool fancy. You tap the glass, see what's inside. They got iPads on refrigerators, Wi-Fi. Now LG's changing colors. And it came down to, we want our food cold. So we just want the one that opens and closes.
Right. Because
honestly, sometimes with technology in a dishwasher, in a refrigerator, in a microwave, personally, I feel like, you know how you have, I don't know, maybe somebody has an iPad that's 6, 7, 8 years old. That don't work the same, does it? Nope. Not everything runs the best on it. That's what's going to happen to your refrigerator. You know what I mean? That's the way I look at it, at least.
Hey, look, just keep my stuff cold and maybe put a microwave on it. You know, that'll be pretty dope. Okay. Next thing here from Dyson, they're in the headphones now. I thought Dyson was just vacuum cleaners. So they got air purifying headphones.
Air purifying headphones?
Yeah, Dyson Zone headphones here. So Dyson has spent the last decade researching issues around indoor and outdoor pollution, especially in bigger cities. So with both air and noise pollution, can deliver an assault on your senses. So this is interesting. Dyson Zone. Air purifying noise canceling headphones. So not only do they cancel the noise around you, they're gonna help purify the air that you walk in.
And then does it like cycle it in front of your nose and mouth? Says, you breathe it?
It says it allows you to make calls, listen to music, and get filtered personal air. So that little mask right in front of you,
that's cool.
I want to be a fly on the wall in this research room right here. I'm like, my question is, what motivates you to come up with this idea? This right here.
I mean, how do you go from vacuums to headphones, right?
Right. I mean, the vacuum part, it's a filter in the vacuum that cleans the air. It doesn't spew out all the garbage that you vacuum up. So I could see that part. But the headsets and stuff, they just took it to another level. They just blew my mind.
What's your favorite pair of headphones you guys own?
I say I like my Dre Beats in the ear. Yeah, what about you, 300?
AirPod Pros.
Yeah,
definitely.
Nice.
Me too. I got the AirPod Pros. Yeah.
Yep. AirPod Pros. So, and then the next one, I say good for the environment, full waste fertilizer composter. So taking your garbage and composting it, so then you could put it out in the yard. I'm assuming that's what it sounds like to me. That's what I know compost, because I have a compost garbage in my backyard. So it says, since roughly 30 to 40% of the food supply in the U.S. becomes food waste, we've dedicated to helping families find practical ways to reduce food waste. So enter Reneco Prime, a composter designed to reduce 90% of your food waste by turning it into rich fertilizer that can spread on top of the lawn, soil, garden, or the potted plants. Now, nailed it. I told you, because I know I got composting in the backyard myself. And then once it all disintegrates, it basically turns into dirt. And then you can lay it out in your garden, whatever you're growing back there. So,
question. So you keep this in your house?
No, probably. Yeah, it looks like small enough. It goes on a kitchen counter. Or it might be bigger. I can't tell by the photo how big or small it is.
So. I'm not trying to blank on anybody's parade here, but why don't you just do it outside like you do? Like, why do we need to bring it into a little high-tech receptacle when nature does its job outside?
I got to ask the company that, bro.
That's the question I have.
Hey, send an email to them. I'm pretty sure okay. They got frequently asked questions. So there you go.
Okay. This next one I think looks pretty weird.
All right. Cool. So this was the big thing. It's been a lot of companies. This is one of many companies that felt that urine analysis wasn't a big thing to hit this year. I don't know. maybe it's a COVID. I think this is another COVID idea because everybody's in the house.
Yeah.
They were getting tested and testing was a thing, swabbing the nose or the throat, which is uncomfortable. So here you go. I guess you could maybe test your COVID or test for other things, obviously, by urinating on this device. So at-home urination analysis, Withings U-Scan. So the U-Scan by Withings, if I'm saying that correctly, is a cartridge-based platform designed to detect, measure, and analyze biomarkers in urine at home. While it's not a medical device, it is a convenient way to better understand your health. So at launch, there will be two cartridges, CycleSync, and help for tracking menstrual cycles, NutriBalance, and tracking hydration and nutrition.
Yeah.
So there you go. Personally, you can't wait until it is quickly tested for UTI. So all that stuff that human beings come into certain situations. So there you go.
I like the idea of keeping track of your nutrition and saying, like, hey, I need to eat more, whatever.
Right.
So you just pee on it?
Basically. They're making it really self.
This is what it looks like in the picture.
Hey, they're making it real easy on us. So when we got stuff going on with our bodies, then you just got to make sure you got this device sitting in the toilet. There you go.
Quick question. I asked, why don't you just compost outside? We have one comment, animals. That's why. Okay, true. Yeah, animals get up in there.
Yeah, they'll eat it.
And then another comment, big city, like people that want small gardens in New York. Yeah. Okay,
that is a thing.
Like you're in a big city and you don't have a lawn. You don't have a place to compost. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Makes more sense now. Makes more
all
sense.
Right. Let's get over to the gaming stuff now. We need some gaming stuff. Here we go. All right. Let me see. Let me go back to the top. And they have this monitor. It was a PC. There's a couple gaming PCs right here. But I got to go with this though right here. You see this thing?
Look at
this thing. Okay, Anthony. Okay, you playing 2K, or you playing Halo on this 57-inch Samsung gaming monitor. Now, it has all the little wheels and buttons. It's a Neo G. It's curved. Display is HDR 100 model monitor. And that's 7680 by 2160 pixel resolution, which is ridiculous.
What K is that?
Then 240 hertz refresh rate at a 30.9 aspect ratio, which is very wide and very basically very big. So the NVIDIA RTX 490, that's the GPU that can handle. So you can have a GPU 490 on this that can run. It'll run on this monitor is basically what it's saying here. So what are your thoughts on this, Anthony?
I don't think I'm playing on anything that's 57 inches.
No,
that is way too much to focus on, especially on an FPS.
Yes, too much to focus on, and obviously, to be competitive, you would think it'd still be lag, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? I mean, where's my mini map on there? Like, I gotta like turn my head to look, turn left and right to look where my mini map and my health is. You know,
it's like you're driving almost.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
So what's the perfect size monitor, guys?
So the perfect size monitor is right here, this next one, which is between, I say, 23 inches to about 25. This next one here from Alienware, it's a new 25-inch gaming monitor. Where is it? 500 hertz refresh rate when overclocked. So that means, you know, putting it at a higher level, using a higher level GPU with this monitor, and it has a 480 refresh rate. So the monitor says it's based in IPS, which gives better color, viewing angles, and higher brightness for the first 500. So this is the first 500 hertz monitor. You know, Asus ROG Swift 500 megahertz as well, which uses the TN technology. It's expected to ship early February in China and late March for us here in the United States. So this is the prime inches that you want on a competitive monitor, console or PC that you're playing on, John.
Okay.
And Chicken Tech and X-Ray are going crazy right now for that monitor.
I'll say that right now. Oh, they've been talking about it. Yeah. Oh yeah. I'll say any highly competitor, which they are, will want this. Cause this is like having a pair of Jordans if you're a basketball player, or a pair of shoes that you know fit your foot. You know, football is having your shoulder pads, your helmet, a good football that you like to throw, you know, even though it's not the newest one out the box, it's the one you've been throwing on all season long. You want that feel. So it's all about feel. And for esports pros out there. And so now Sony too, they got into building something new here. So Sony shows its new accessible controller. So Sony revealed the Project Leonardo, a new gaming controller kit designed to customize for people and disabilities, reported to CNET's Stephen Mazzulla. Sony Interactive Entertainment, Jim Ryan, and the kit will allow players and disabilities to play more easier. Okay, there we go. More comfortable for longer periods. So Sony doesn't announce the price release date yet. So there you go. Another adaptive controller. I love that, because Xbox has an adaptive controller too for people that can't, you know, do the normal gaming as we are with controllers and joysticks and stuff in our hands. So this is another good job, Sony. There you go. We get what you guys think about this right here.
Amazing. I actually know a couple of people. I want to say, I think his name is Lagout on 2K, and he has a disability with a hand, and he still plays at a very high level. So that'll be something he could probably definitely use.
So yeah, Sony, because I think this is Sony's first attempt at this too. I don't know if they've done anything like this in the past, but I know Xbox has been quite a far ahead of them on that standpoint. So this is their reach out for that. So good job there, Sony. So Dell as well with their Nixie controller, and I think this controller, I remember reading it the other night, had something to do with kind of like the face recognition or finger recognition on it, on the joystick or something there.
Fingerprint, so that's reader under its center button.
Yes. So he had the haptic stuff going on, you know, not only the vibration, but actually like your iPhone or Samsung, where you could just use your fingerprint or your face recognition to, you know, open or unlock the phone. Somehow it helps you with programming the map out of the buttons here, the layout of the button configurations and everything on the controller. And so a lot of fun stuff there at CES. I was trying to go, man. I loved going. I've been out there a few times, and it's always fun to see the things. The first time I went, I saw Spalding out there, and they had what they had a basketball that tracked your stats, like your dribbling, your rebounding, how many shots you made in the ball. It was like a chip in the basketball. So I'm like, this is pretty okay.
Man, high school John would have loved that ball. Just downloading all my stats and making charts.
There you go. There you go. All right, John, what about yourself? What you got going on?
Let's get to this or that. I know I can't compete with CES. Let's get to a little bit of this or that.
All right, let's do that. Let's get over to this or that. All right, John.
Okay.
You got it.
All right, this is from Big B. By the way, if you have an idea for this or that, a question for this or that, you can drop it, by the way, in the comments right now if you're watching on Twitch or Facebook or YouTube or all the places this is streamed. Or you can stop in our Discord, our social media, and we'll try to get your this or that question on the podcast. So Big B asks, Forza or Need for Speed? Ooh. I'll let our guests go on this one.
Hey, Need for Speed all day.
All day.
I do not like Forza. We had it on the wheel, and I did not like Forza. But Need for Speed is so much more hype. It brings so much more energy. And yeah, definitely Need for Speed.
Why didn't you like Forza?
That was my next question. Why not?
I just didn't like it. I don't know. Just the mechanics of the game, like how it drives, how it looks. I'm not a big car person either, but it was just kind of just boring. Like, I'm just racing, just one-on-one racing. You know, you're racing somebody else. Like, you know, it just wasn't it for me. But Need for Speed, man, is especially the Hot Pursuit, the one we got on the wheel.
I was going to ask you which one, because they have most wanted. Okay.
Hot Pursuit. Yeah. All day, man. You know, cops and robbers thing. I love it.
Yeah, it is. I say Most Wanted was my favorite. I think I'm 100. It was a 1,000 point achievement, you know, where you do all the achievements. That's the on and only game I got that on. That's how hard, how much grinding I did on that game.
Yes, for sure.
How about you, Ron? What are you picking?
I'm Need for Speed 2, as I just mentioned, between Most Wanted and then Hot Pursuit right after that. I played that as well. And then the new one, I haven't touched it yet, the Outbound or something like that we just talked about here on the podcast a few weeks ago. I know that's a lot of people, I've heard good reviews about the Outbound or something, Out of Bounds or something like that is the latest edition of Need for Speed.
Okay, let's get to our next this or that. Right. This is probably from the mind of Amon. Okay. Would you rather eat off of a toilet or out of a trash can? Off of a toilet.
Yeah.
Or out of a trash can.
I mean, it depends on how clean the trash can is.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
That's
right,
the point.
I mean,
that's
it depends on how clean the toilet is.
Okay, here's, I don't know.
That's a tough one.
Okay. Hey. I think I do know. I'm going to go with trash can, but barely trash can. Because obviously, you know, you washed your hands, you may dry it off with paper towel, you throw those germs in there, you throw all the food in there. But you're not putting your food where somebody just sat down on their bare, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think I'm choosing toilet.
You're choosing toilet?
You're going toilet? Wow.
Why is the toilet cleaner?
I can't do rotten food and all that. I don't know.
Oh. And you see where everybody's mind go? Like it could be you think of nasty food when John said it was like it could be a clean trash can.
Yeah.
It could you put on the toilet 300, you're putting it where people have sat, where people have done some maybe they had
I'll deal with the sweat. I'll deal with the sweat then rotten and flies and all that other stuff, man.
Okay, I'm gonna deal with the trash can as well. I'm gonna go trash can as well.
I can't do it.
Yep. Here we go. All right. Next one on the list, John.
Honestly, I don't understand.
I got this from a movie. I've seen movies where they do this scene when boyfriend, or a husband drinks out of the shoe of his wife. I was like, I was watching something. I can't remember what I was watching.
Drink soda from your dress shoes or drink soda from your gym shoes. It's nasty either way.
Yeah.
I'm going to do dress shoes because I don't wear them a whole lot.
Yeah, same.
My gym shoes I wear every day.
Yes.
So I already know my feet are, I got dragon feet. It's bad on it. I already know.
Ugh. Just think about what you could be possibly, you have athlete's foot or something.
That's why I'm not using my gym shoes.
Can't do the gym
shoes. I barely dress up to go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, wear a suit and tie and then some nice dress. Those dress shoes are pretty much brand new. So, boom.
Yeah.
For me. That's for me.
Dress
you got, Anthony?
Definitely dress shoes all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John?
I think you guys are right on. It has to be dress shoes.
Dress shoes. We got dress shoes here with Raymond. Raymond Ortiz says dress shoes there.
Oh, man. Shout out to my uncle, man.
Yeah. Hey, okay. Nice. Big fam up in here. Shoot the boot for Jeremy. So the boot in rugby is your shoe. They call the boots the shoe. That's Jeremy. What's up, Jeremy? How you doing? All right. Next one on the list, John.
Fight five small chickens or five. I love these. Or fight. Okay. All right. Let's start over. Fight five small chickens. All right. Or fight one horse sized chicken. Well, you have five small ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm putting them things.
Off
the field.
How I got this is fighting herds, you know, fighting that game with horses and goats and llamas kicking my butt. I'm like, because it's just a computer. Like when I put it on AI mode and it's on the middle, like normal. It's on normal. And I can't even get a dub in a normal match. I mean, like, oh my God. That's like, I know I'm not this bad at Street Fighter, but you know.
Okay, let me change this up a little bit. How about fight five small chickens with razor blades on their feet and beaks?
Oh man!
Or one horse-sized chicken. Does that change it for anyone?
That might change it because you can still kick the little ones off of you. You got a chance with a foot. Well, you got a horse-sized chicken. You seen Foghorn Leghorn on the Looney Tunes? That's a big chicken, man. he gets his hands on you. It's a wrap.
Yeah, I think I'm still going to choose the little chickens.
How about 50 small chickens, and they all have razor blades on their beaks and everything? Yeah.
Wonku says drop kick the chickens. Oh man, that's hilarious right there.
Yeah,
game is a boring. I'm still taking the small ones. Yep, I'm taking small ones. I don't care if you make them into Cyborg Mutants. I'm taking the small ones.
Well, I don't know. 50 is a lot. 50, I might have to take the big one then. The big right.
50 of them?
Yeah. Oh, 50 is a lot. Yeah. You just want to deal with one. You don't want to deal with multiple. All right. All right, man. Let's thank Cenk Anthony for hanging out doing that. Real quick, I'm going to head over. Hold on. Moving real fast.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Yeah. Where am I? Oh, I know what I did wrong. There we go. All right. Let's head it over to game releases now. Okay. We're talking video games, John and Anthony.
You got some time, Anthony? Hear that. Stick around.
Still got time? Got time?
Sure. Cool.
I don't know if you can hear that little dog in the background and everything. So, John, you're up first, buddy.
Okay. First up on my game releases. Once again, for those new to the podcast, Amon sends a list of new game releases each week, and I just pick a book by its cover. You know, I basically, I look at the names. I'm like, that sounds interesting. What is this? So the first one I picked was Flash Party, and I think we got that up right now. So Flash Party. The Stardust Warriors is an overall upgrade to this fun-loving, exciting fighting party. Flash Party is a multi-platform fighting game that is free to play with online and offline matches to choose from, various modes, themed seasons, and competitive Pinnacle Arena. All right, so it's a fighting game, Flash Party. A lot of fighting games out there. I guess, to me, graphics look fun.
Yeah, they look good. Like
standard, kind of fighting game to me so far. Yes.
Almost like a Super Smash Bros. Yes. Multiversus type feel. I could see that as well.
It looks like in that one you're playing in somebody's like a child's bedroom or something with a background. But I don't know. I mean, you guys are really into these fighting games. What are your first impressions when you see Flash Party?
I mean, I think it's great. It looks like a new cool game. Definitely reminds me a lot of Smash. So hopefully. I don't know if the Smash is going to take it on, but, you know, hopefully it definitely grow a community with it.
Wow. It looks like you can play as a cat in a robot.
That's most fighting games. Most fighting games, you're playing as something, you know, animal shape or animal-esque type creature or something. And I wonder if Nintendo has patented, like, the game-fighting style of Super Smash Bros. Because everybody's basically copycatting it right now. Yeah. It looks, not saying it's a bad game. It's still a bad game. It's just, I see multiverses. I see Super Smash Bros. In that, and it's a popular style. I hope they're getting their money. Well, we know they're getting their money. All right, next game for you, John.
All right, and then my next game I picked was Rogue AI Simulator. You know, I'm really into this ChatGPT right now. It's artificial intelligence, which you can tell it to, like, write a story, and it writes a huge story for you. So I was like, AI, that sounds interesting. So play as Rogue Artificial Intelligence in the sequel to the I'm an Insane Rogue AI. This one's called Rogue AI Simulator. So your prime directive is simple. Design a facility and manage human test subjects for the Department of Science, but be careful. They never stop being suspicious of you.
Of course. Are you the robot? Is it saying, are you the robot?
I think you're the Rogue AI.
Oh, you're the Rogue AI? Yeah, they're going to be suspicious of you.
Of course they're going to be suspicious of you.
It's like Among Us.
That's what it looks like. Yeah, with weapons now. With more weapons.
Yeah, Among Us with weapons,
With more weapons. Because you already have weapons on Among Us. Now you got, like, guns and bullets and everything else.
Yeah, so you play as a Rogue Artificial Intelligence.
Now, is that a mobile game? Add me to your
wish list now. No, it's on all platforms. It's on all PC, console, everything. I was like, what in the world?
Yeah.
All right, I got a fun game here. And it's a famous anime that we know of now today, One Piece is coming out with its RPG. Come on, what is it doing? There we go. Play. Stop acting up. There we go. Dealing with it. So I'm a fan. I've always been a fan. Now I'm on to start watching the series because now the movie, or now a video game, is now out. So it has different little features. Like, I'm not, like I said, I'm just getting into this, so I don't know a whole lot about the actual storyline. I just know they do what they do on here. I gotta find, hold up, I had the information on. Because I'm just, like I said, popular anime. I had what I was supposed to write up, what I was going to talk about. I can't find it right now, so that's why I'm just freelancing. I'm just freelancing right now, like, dang it. So a lot of my fans, a lot of my players that I coach at Lakeland, they talk about One Piece. They talk about what else? JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And they all been now turning to games. And so this is going to look like it's more into the RPG style of gaming here. And I know some fighting going on. I'm going to find my clip of what I was supposed to say on here. To make sure I don't sound like a fool. Here we go. Found it. This is going to bloopers. This is going to bloopers. Here we go. All right. In One Piece, players will embark on an adventure of Luffy and the Straw Hat Crew. Now, I don't know if I'm going to roll with a crew called the Straw Hat Crew, but I guess they're dangerous. So as they're trying to regain their lost powers, so to do so, they will visit Memoria, of course. They lose their powers. They got to memorize them. So a world built from memories of their previous encounters, leading them to go back to important locations in their history as Alabasta and Water 7. I got to make sure you got to, slow down and try to say all these big words here for me right now. In adventure, you will experience new story of Straw Hats. We'll focus on Usopp and Robin. The quest will then lead them to see familiar places and the like Galleria La Company faces like Frankie's Gang, Iceberg, Akuki, if I said that correct, and some of the CP9 members like Lucci and Kaku. All right. We got a lot of big stuff going on.
Okay.
I'm new to this, so game comes out this week. Don't try to judge me. Like I said, I'm just getting into playing and watching One Piece and the game here. So One Piece Odyssey, check it out here. All platforms. Whew. Yeah, I got through that. All right, next game. Now, Anthony, you brought up Contra earlier.
Yes.
So I found this game. I found this game that when I first watched the video, I'm like, oh, man, this is so dope. And it looks like, wait a minute, what? Why does this kind of remind me of Contra here? So I watched the video, and I'm like, what? I was like, is this the same developers? So we got Vengeful Moonrider. Vengeful Guardian Moonrider. It's a side-scrolling action platformer similar to Contra, old-school game classic, inspired by the golden... And boom, it answers my question right here. Inspired by the golden age of classic 16-bit action game, it launches on PS5, PS4, PlayStation, and PC. So basically all platforms. And it's also on Steam. So you can download from the Steam account there. So it's basically the plot is humanity finds an unlikely hero after building an army of super soldiers as weapons of war and unwilling to seal their fates and bring online ninja war known as the Moonrider. So conceived as a tool preserved for the totalitarian state, the Moonrider instead rejects an intense purpose and wages relentless battle on vengeance against its creators and fellow soldiers. So you could gear up for battle. You have the best classic action game elements like laser, precise sights, daring ninjas, ensuring snappy, respective combat, and supreme challenging. So it kind of, what'd you think? Did it kind of remind you of
that is
Contra?
100% Contra.
Yeah. I was like,
100%.
I was like, hold up. And so they got key features like created by Joy Masher, the studio behind a lot of games that I don't know how to say right now. Odalis and Blazing Chrome, authentic retro game feeling, 100% that we just got approved by Anthony there. So check those games out. All platforms coming out this week. Check all our clips. I'll be posting up on that. And now to wrap up the show, we got what's on stream.
Row, row, row your boat gently up the... sorry. Excuse me. It's time for what's on stream.
All right. What's on stream, Anthony and crew? We've been watching Wednesday on Netflix. I don't know if you caught this yet.
I didn't see you were watching. Yeah, you're watching some shows.
Wednesday.
Are we going to ruin anything for you if we talk about it? Are you going to?
No.
Okay. Good. We'll let the video play in the background. It is a good show. I love it. We're on episode three and four right now. And so Wednesday is now I say getting introduced to all the her new classmates, and it's a school, Anthony, where it's a school for misfits. So there's vampires, there's werewolves, there's sirens, there's mermaids. These are the kids that of their, you know, of their mom and dad that come to the school called Nevermore in Jericho. We don't even, I think it's a fictional town, city, but it's off the Wednesday Addams, the Addams family lore of storytelling. And so Wednesday Addams, played by Jenna Ortega right there. For me, she's done a great job with it. But this episode where we're trying to find out who's been killing some of the students from Nevermore in the woods at night. So don't go in the woods right now, as the sheriff has been proclaiming, because you're going to get ripped apart if you go in the woods. So you're trying to figure out who's doing the killing. You know, is it a monster? Is it a bear? And so this is them, you know, this is, I say, they keep showing Wednesday and her adaptation of getting, you know, introduced to her classmates when she's not going to do it, because she's a rogue. She does her own thing. So, John, what's your thoughts here?
Okay, so here are my notes for episode 3. I'll start with episode 3. Because episode 2 ended with someone putting a hood over the head of Wednesday, and she's like been kidnapped. So you're like, oh my gosh, what a cliffhanger. I must watch episode 3. So we find out that Bianca, that girl with the crazy eyes.
She's a siren.
She's got those blue eyes. Bianca and the Nightshades. So it's kind of like this group.
That's the little clique in the high school there.
We find out that that's the people that kidnap her. Then that Trevor Lawrence looking kid suggests that she joins as well. There's a kid that looks just like, you know, young Trevor Lawrence.
Gotcha.
Quarterback, Jaguars.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
Yeah. And then Wednesday's just like, nope. And then that's the end of it. And I thought to myself, what a hollow tease. At the end of episode 2, because they wrapped up what happened with her being kidnapped in like 45 seconds.
Right.
And then they're like, we'll go on with the episode. I'm like, that was just a tease because they needed something to keep the series going. Gotcha. And it made me a little upset.
So, anyway, John, what did you want? What did you would rather see?
Hey, if you're ending with this cliffhanger tease of someone got kidnapped, give me a story about it. They were like 60 seconds later, like, okay, now she's not kidnapped anymore. So it's kind of like, oh, so this really wasn't that big of a deal, what you just showed me at the end of episode 2 that made me want to watch episode 3. It's those types of teases, guys, in my opinion, that make you not want, I'm not saying this is going to happen Wednesday, but not want to watch TV shows. Those are the types of teases you see in the TV series The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, where they have these crappy teases that don't mean anything, and then you stick around and you watch the next episode, and it was not even anything they made it out to be.
And I feel like, you. I feel your pain.
I'm not watching that. I'm not falling for that again.
Oh, you sound just like me when I watch a movie preview and then I go see the movie and I'm like, what the heck? Like, wait a minute. All the preview I saw was all these good scenes. I see the whole movie in entirety and it's not good. Like, come on.
You saw it.
They sucked this in. Anthony, you ever feel like that?
Yeah, yeah. Me and my wife talk about it all the time. It's like a thing with me, my wife, and my daughter. Like, we'll probably watch 30 seconds of a trailer now instead of watching the whole thing. Like, because it's just the trailers give away the whole movie or the whole show now.
Yeah.
So do you watch it kind of like, did it catch my attention? Yes, stop it? Or
yes, exactly. Okay. as soon as one of us instantly go, yeah or no, then we'll stop it and then watch the movie.
Well, that's why Netflix crazy. Is good. Netflix, Hulu, they got the previews. You can watch the trailers.
Yeah, yeah.
Because remember, they didn't used to do that. They didn't used to do that. They made you watch the movie.
Yes.
Back in the day when Netflix first came out.
You know what I do like about what Netflix shows you is they don't always show you a trailer. They'll show you a clip.
Just a scene, right?
A scene. And it'll be like a really intriguing scene. And I thought that's a really unique way. Instead of showing everything that happens in the series, you're like, oh, that was interesting. I'm in.
Yeah.
So I like the way they do that. All right. Other notes on this. So she finds the other page of that book that she was looking for with the other half of that page where she's standing there in front of Nevermore Academy. And now she finds the other half where there's this like pilgrim looking guy.
Something crack.
Yeah. I forget his name. He's like one of the founders of the school.
Yeah. He's the founder of the town town of Jericho.
And she has a vision later on where she sees Goody Adams, who is sentenced to being burned. You know, back in the day by this pilgrim looking guy because they thought she was a witch. So she sees that type of vision in this episode,
which is part of, she finds out it's part of her ancestry, you know, so
yes.
they're related. That's right there. That's
Trevor Lawrence, by the way, right there.
Oh, yes.
He has a name. I forget it at the moment.
Yeah, so you know, it's a mystery too, Anthony. So it's comedy / mystery. Wednesday Addams, she don't put up with the BS. Let's just be, that's her attitude. And but she's a, you know, she's the daughter of Gomez and the mom's name right now. But she don't mess around. She's not scared in a lot of stuff. She actually likes the scary dread, obviously. And she just knows when things ain't right. So she's trying to help the sheriff here investigate all the killings going on. But then everybody else, she's kind of like her own area. You know, when people come up on her real quick, she lets them know where they stand. And if you get offended, most likely you will. And they turn the other way. So that's in a nutshell.
Yeah.
All right. So
my final comment for episode 3 was later the monster kills a homeless guy. So that's kind of where episode 3 ends.
Oh, man.
And so just me personally, guys, through 3 episodes of Wednesday, I'm thinking, okay, obviously I'm not going to judge it yet. I'm going to keep watching. Episode 4 to me was the one that has pulled me in, and I'll explain why. So episode 4, it starts, she's goes to the morgue to try to, you know, find out more about these people. And she says
they're getting killed by the monster killing them.
She says something that I thought was really disturbing in the morgue. She smells the one cadaver at the start of the episode and smells their hematoma, which is like a solid swelling of clotted blood. I looked
in the veins. Yeah.
And she said, like, she commented on how it smelled good. And I was like, what are you commenting on?
Well, she,
but it fits so perfectly for Wednesday. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Yeah. She doesn't like anything fun. Well, she does like what's fun to her. It's most boring to everybody else, you know, like she'd rather sit and work on her mystery novel, play a cello, and watch ants eat each other or something crazy like that. You know, that's fun. That's fun for Wednesday. See, you know,
so it fits her perfectly. So then she goes and finds these creepy drawings, right? So she suspects
she's investigating the murders that's going on in the woods right outside the high school. You know.
So she suspects Trevor Lawrence of being the killer. She sees those creepy drawings. She almost gets caught here, and he's like, what are you doing? Are you going to ask me to the dance or something? She's like, I guess I got to ask him to the dance now. So she asks him to this big dance, which we'll unveil a little bit later with this iconic scene from the series, right?
Yep.
Finally, we get to the dress scene. My 9-year-old daughter was asking me about this a couple of weeks ago. Have you gotten to the scene where she's wearing the dress?
Yeah.
I'm like, No, but apparently it's this very popular scene. And I got there and I thought to myself, guys, Jenna Ortega is now entering some pretty elite company as an actress. Mm-hmm. It seems like if she isn't already there as the newest young up and
she's there now,
If she's not there, she is there now. And it's this performance in Wednesday, and more specifically, like this iconic dance scene that really put her on the map. And I expect to see Jenna Ortega in like everything in the next decade, because I think that's the point when I'm watching the series, like, oh, I get it. She's a star. And this series is her coming out stardom role.
Yeah. That was just the icing on the cake. I thought she was already like from episode 1 to 2. I was like, oh yeah, she knocked it out the park. Cause you think about all the other Wednesdays from the movies, Christina Ricci, who did it in the movie years ago, a lifetime ago now, just has that part where they don't conform to traditional ways. You know, she's like, what's this dance about? You know, well, I don't want to go to this dance. It's just a whole bunch of people trying to say, hey, you know, look at me or whatever, how she puts it. And I'm with her, you know, going to prom and homecoming. I was like, I think I wore a pair of Jordans, some blue jeans, and a Fila hockey jersey.
Fila hockey jersey.
A Fila hockey jersey. That's what me and my girl wore to the homecoming my senior year. And I won homecoming king with that outfit on.
I'm starting. And after I saw this scene and it starts to come to the end of the episode, guys, here's where I'm at on episode 4 of Wednesday on Netflix. I'm starting to really enjoy the series for what it is. It's kind of this whodunit story, but it's driven by the Addams Family brand or whatever, and all the quirkiness
Mantra
that goes behind it. And they put in monsters and Addams Family, and it's a whodunit, and I'm really starting to just enjoy the series for what it is, and that's what it is in my opinion right now.
For sure. It's it has that feel, has the music, you know, it has the funny characters doing little silly things. Only I think later We're going to see Uncle Fester. But you got Thing right now doing his job. He's like the COVID officer, always doing behind the scene things. And right now, here's the scene coming up for the dancing that puts Jenna Ortega on the map and everybody else on the map, because it brings back the old scenes from the movie Carrie. I was like, what? I was like, okay, they're doing that now. Tim Burton being a director, you know, he knows how to do this, right? And he has Danny Elfman. If you don't know Danny Elfman, he is a fantastic music composer. He did the soundtrack for Wanted, which was an assassin movie with Angelina Jolie and Morgan Freeman. If you remember that movie, Wanted, he did the soundtrack for that. And I think he did a few of the Matrix's soundtracks. So you're talking about high-end, you know, sound conductor, music conductor that's being on the roster of this movie, along with Tim Burton and a few other executive producers and executive directors. So it's like, they bring in everybody, all-star cast there.
And when they do this prank and they spray the fake blood on everyone, you like that Carrie, like you're talking about, and it's happening. I'm looking at it. I'm like, that does not look like blood at all. And then Wednesday.
Yeah, there you go.
It, and I thought that was perfect, because she tastes it. She's like, this isn't blood.
She said, this is paint. She said something like, this is paint. Like, she wanted it to be blood. That's Wednesday. She wanted it to be blood. So
I thought that was cool. All right. So, and then one more thing. So she has that vision, right?
Yep.
Of Eugene.
Yep, getting tore up.
Here's my comment. Eugene has been killed. Damn, I like that little guy. I liked him. They killed Eugene. He was such a lovable type of character.
Yeah, like, he was one of the only friends of Wednesday. You know, he was a kid that he thought he could go out there on his own in the woods and fight the monster or do whatever. And she told him, she said, "Don't go without me." He wanted to go anyway, and unfortunately. You know, he might have met his demise. So we'll find out next episode.
Do one last thing for you guys? I want to recap something on the dancing scene, because it's so iconic.
They really didn't show it. They showed a little bit of
it. I got. Oh, hold up. I got this. So while we watch this together. So this is the dance scene, right? With Jenna Ortega. And this is when I'm watching the series. I'm like, okay, I get it. She's a star. And this is kind of weird type of dance scene. But everybody's talking about this scene where she dances, and I'm like, okay, let's watch it. Let's see what's going on. She's got all these kind of weird dance moves, and it's very unique.
It's like Michael Jackson Thriller a little bit.
A little bit of Thriller in there or whatnot. And so you can just watch along if you're watching on Facebook or Twitch or YouTube or whatever. And so I'm like, okay, what is the story behind this dance scene? What is going on here? How did she come up with these moves?
Right.
And so I looked it up, and part of what she says she was inspired by was goth dancing from the 1980s.
Really?
And so, so she had a tweet here. Let me stop this sharing. Hold on a second. Let me hit the right button. So she had a tweet, and hold on.
It was very cringe to watch.
Yeah. The dance. Yeah. So she says, thanks to, and I don't know, people, Bob Fosse's Rich Man's Frog, Lisa Loring, Lean Lovitch, Dennis Levant, and archival footage of goths dancing in the clubs in the 1980s helped me out on this one. So she kind of choreographed this whole dance scene on her own. So you might be thinking, okay, what does goth dancing from the 1980s look like? So I went and I looked it up. So here we go. Let's watch some goth dancing from the 1980s. And this is partially what inspired Jenna Ortega to choreograph the dance scene that she did in Wednesday.
Wow.
What am I watching here?
What am I watching here?
Well, I just want to know the beat. Is there a volume where you hear the music? Because I'm like, I listen to the beat and the bass line to get my, you know, get me in rhythm. There's nothing. Okay. You turned up the volume. There's nothing. That's okay. But I'm like, what are they? Are they listening to the riff? Or are they, where they at? What you listening to get you moving?
I'm not sure what it is, but this has meme written all over it, in my opinion.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
For sure.
I would love to remake this and put some, like.
I just want to know the music. I just want to know what are they moving around?
Could you hear when I turned it up?
No, I didn't hear it.
Could you hear it, guys? No?
No, we don't hear it.
Dang. I wonder why.
You got to share your photo. Share the audio from the what you're sharing. It happens when you first start to share. If you reshare that, make sure you click the little box in the right left-hand corner, and it'll say share audio.
Share system audio. Got it.
There you go. I just got to hear the music. Then I'll know.
Can you hear it now?
A little bit.
No, I can't hear it.
It's just basically like 1980s music, like rock music.
Interesting.
Hey. So there you go. Now, if you're ever wondering, like, where did she come up with those dance moves? Partially inspired by those guys doing their thing in the club in the 80s.
Yeah, going back to your comment, John, about how TV shows and everything could get us into, or the previews get you sucked in and then nothing happened. My man here, NB Glow. Key RG.
That's a big dog. Low key RG.
Oh, low key. Gotcha. Low key RG. So he says that they just had a court case that set a precedent for movies that do this to be sued moving forward. So making the previews look all good.
Yeah.
And then you watch the movie and you're like, man, they just got my 1050. I want my money back.
Wait, they're suing over trailers?
Yes. Yeah, I mean,
I don't think that's going to
work. That's where you make your money, because really, you think about the movie house. Yeah. We just got to get you in the seats. Once you pay the money, the movie don't matter after that. Once you pay that, you give us that $10, $12.
Oh, we got you.
We got you. You know,
you don't have to make a good 2-hour movie. You have to make a good 2-minute trailer.
Hey, that's facts right there.
Yeah. Exactly. Hey, Big B, I'll do that later.
My wife is terrible at picking movies. I'm telling
you. Big B, I'll hit you on that later, maybe on stream on another night. I'll hit that up with you. In my house, I was that. My wife was also bad. She's gotten better over the years.
Yeah, same.
Because I give her a hard time. I'm like, babe, really? I said, that was garbage. I said, babe, that was garbage. And she's like, leave me alone. I don't watch movies like you watch movies. I'm like, I tell you, I said, you got to look at the director. If you know writers' names, even actors, like, you know, some actors are not going to do bad movies.
Yes.
There's actors out there. They know just as well as we do. If they put a bad movie, we're going to talk about them. We're going to give them a hard time. You know, we might not ever meet them, but they know people saying, hey, that one movie Will Smith did, that was trash. Yeah.
Hey, Tom Cruise. What is it? Wild West? They make fun of Will Smith? Hey, I love that movie, though. I loved it.
Back in the day?
Yeah back in the Wild Wild West. Yep. Yeah. Oh, man. So we got through Wednesday. So episode 5 and 6 next week, we just know there's a monster. She's doing her Agatha Christie thing, investigating, doing her things, also trying to adapt to traditional ways in her high school, but she's not putting up with it. That's Wednesday. But I would hire her, you know, she's definitely a good cop. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
She's just a little on the dark side. The dance moves, I'm okay with it. Just the video, I don't know. I just needed to hear the music a little bit. They still off. You got to find a rhythm. You got to find the.
Yeah. I'm telling you, take a clip of 80s goth dancing and put some like funny music, not funny, but just like modern music behind it or something. It'd be really funny.
Man, you'll get anything. You get anything. Yeah. Oh, here we go. It says, look up the game Aliens Colonial Marines. There was a lawsuit for the trailer for the game that hooked everyone to buy it. And then none of the trailer was in the game and didn't even look like what the game played out it looked like. Wow.
That makes sense. That would
thank you, Gamemanship. Oh, that's Eeyore. Thank you, Eeyore. I think that's Eeyore. That's Gaming Generations Eeyore. So, all right. Anthony, man, I want to say big thank you. You stayed on for the whole ride.
Yes.
For every segment. I know I'm glad. I hope, did you have a good time?
Yes. No, I had an amazing time.
All right. I appreciate you, man, for that. John, good job as well. So, we do the little close out here, Jack. So Anthony, let everybody know where they could find you. We got your I think that's your Instagram already here on the chat. Where else can they find you if they want to get in contact with you?
Find us on UEL Esports on all platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Definitely check us out. YouTube as well. YouTube, we have our First Spin show hosted by Low Key, as long with our podcast hosted by Low Key RG as well.
Yeah, podcast just started. Sounds good. I tuned into episode 2. And I thought it was good with Lockdown and the crew there. That was fun to hear.
Yeah.
Fun to watch. So, John, let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah, absolutely. On Twitter at John Arias Radio. That's J-O-N-A-R-I-A-S. Also my podcast, John Cast Podcast, J-O-N-C-A-S-T Podcast. I'll be speaking with some Wisconsin Sportscasters of the Year coming up on my podcast. So stay tuned for that.
And it's Outside the Wheel with Low Key RG there on the UEL on YouTube. That's where you can catch the show. I watched it. Awesome. Lockdown is hilarious. Low Key RG, just met him through that. He's good as well. So, and for myself, you can find me at MonGreen30 on Instagram. My Twitter got hacked.
What?
Earlier this week. Yes.
Oh, no.
My Twitter got hacked. They're getting so diabolical. I got this email from Twitter. I mean, it was legit Twitter. And usually I'm suspicious of stuff like this. And as I'm clicking on everything, I was like, they got me. And I'm telling myself in my head, but it looked legit. It was basically something about either resetting my password or something with my account. And the how they got diabolical about it is that it didn't, as soon as I finished everything, it didn't take over my account right away. I did it on Saturday.
Yeah.
My account didn't get hacked till Monday. So it's like two days after the fact. I was like, and so now I came in, you know, I put in the report to Twitter. So they're looking into it. They'll get back to me. Type email, so I'm waiting right now. So
what does that mean? The person or persons just have access to your Twitter account now?
Yeah, they locked it, so it got locked down. So it's like it doesn't even pop up. Like when I searched it on my end, y'all could probably search it. It's a MonGreen 30. I don't know what'll pop up. Don't click anything, obviously. Just look at it. It's in limbo. So I'm on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. There you go. I'm on Green Gamers Lounge. That's where I put all the clips. And we got a good man, Jeremy. I don't want to say his name. Swick. And Swick Media been helping us with the clips that we've been putting out. I've been putting out the last couple weeks here. So he's done a fantastic job with that. Jeremy, thank you for that. He's on. Yeah, Jeremy Swick. I'm going to make sure that his last name correct. Swick Media. So all the clips we've been posting on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Boom. And we'll be back. I won't be back next week, guys, because I'm busy, John, with school. I'm going to Lincoln. I'm coaching with a new team, Anthony, down in Lincoln, Nebraska, my old college that I went to and played ball at, developing esports program there now from the ground up. So going to help that school out, do the same thing I did here at Lakeland for the past 3 years. So all week I'm going to be busy. So it'll be take a little week off. I think, you know, we probably earned it, John, right? We earned
a week off. Sure. Yeah.
You know, so we'll come back the week after that. I'll be all ready to roll, talk about what's going on in Lincoln and what my new setup is going to be like there in Lincoln, Nebraska. So I hope everyone have a great rest of your week. If you're traveling, travel safe. I know I am. Anthony, again, thank you for being on. Absolutely. Everybody in the UEL family, I said, what's up? I know a lot of people are in the chat. Fortnite Dad, Loki, RG, everybody. Ryan might have been up in this piece. Mm-hmm. Z as well. That's one of my players, future players right now. And so, John, again, Anthony.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. We get rolling out of here. Everyone in the chat, see you later. Have a good rest of your weekend and be safe.